As we turn to our lesson from God's Word today, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. O God, whom we long to know, burning fire within our souls, grant to us the tongues like fire, the sound of rushing wind, your descending Holy Spirit, that in knowing your word, we might know your presence, that in following your ways, we might live in your light, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' Thanks be to God."
Thanks, Bob. Petra is back this week with our children's message. Thanks, Petra, for sending that in this week.
Hey, guys. Did you know that today is a really big day for the church? Some people would say that it is the church's birthday. It's that special. So I brought a balloon. It says, "Happy birthday to the church." And I brought candy. And I'm wearing my red shirt because red is the color of this birthday. It is Pentecost Sunday. See, this is how you spell it. Pentecost Sunday, right here. And Pentecost Sunday is just as special for the church as Christmas and Easter. When I was your age, I did not really understand Pentecost Sunday. But every year my church celebrated it, and as I've grown up in the church, I've learned more about what makes it so special. And today, I'd like to share with you one of my favorite things about Pentecost. You have probably noticed that my English sounds a little bit different from your parents' English or your teacher's English. I have an accent because I grew up speaking a different language. I grew up speaking Dutch, and I knew nothing about English until I was 10 or 11 years old. Now imagine being told something in a language that you don't understand. I'll give you an example. I'm going to say something about my candy in Dutch. Ik heb hier hele lekkere M&M's. Het is een nieuwe smaak. Zullen we er samen wat van eten? Now that sounded funny, right? If someone talks to you in a language that you don't understand, you have no idea. The person could be telling you something really awesome, like, shall we eat some of those M&M's? It's a new flavor. They're really good. That's what I said. Or it could be something terrible. Now, the things that Jesus taught us are definitely good news, awesome news. The way he lived shows us God's heart for us and for everyone around us. And the stories that he told his friends contain messages that taught them how to live. But see, Jesus did not speak English, or Dutch, or German. Jesus most likely spoke a language called Aramaic. And only the people who lived in Israel, where Jesus lived, could understand what he said. People who lived in a different country, with a different language, could not. And if it had stayed that way, nobody, none of us, would ever have known about Jesus. So, now comes my favorite thing about Pentecost. On the first Pentecost day, there were lots of people in Jerusalem. It was a day on which people would travel from different places, different countries, to Jerusalem. And those people spoke a lot of different languages. And on that day, Jesus' friends decided to start sharing the story of Jesus. So they went outside and started talking about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit worked in ways that made everyone able to understand it. And suddenly, the stories about Jesus became known, not just in Aramaic, but in all sorts of languages. This year, in one of my classes, I had a student who speaks Swahili. It's one of the languages that is spoken in some African countries. And one day, in class, we listened to a Swahili song. And in honor of the work of God all across the world, we are going to listen to the song too. You may not understand the words, because they're in a different language. But you do actually know what the people are singing, because they sing the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and so on. It's the same prayer that we pray in church every day, and maybe every Sunday, that is. And maybe you pray it at home too, in a different language. So instead of praying together, we're going to listen to the song together. It's called Baba Yetu. Enjoy listening. And happy birthday to the church. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Petra, for sending that in. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sermon today is the Spirit brings change. They were all gathered together in the temple when suddenly a violent wind broke through and fire alit on their tongues. And they all began to speak in different languages. It was a phenomenon that must have been incredible to witness, almost surreal. Something new was happening that had never happened before. It was strange, and they hadn't seen it before. And there were some who looked on this scene and, though it was only 9 in the morning, gave their own interpretation of it, saying, they're drunk. Obviously, they're drunk. Of course, Peter begins his sermon by saying, how could they be drunk? It's only 9 in the morning, which is not exactly a, you know, ringing endorsement, right? I mean, in COVID time, there is not really any AM or PM anymore. But that's beside the point. Because something really powerful is going on, and it can't just be explained away by the cast-off comments of some ignoramuses. My friends, we're in a powerful moment in our world today. I was going to preach a nice sermon, you know? But the Spirit has a way of moving in us. I was going to talk about how much we need to change as a church, to be more open, to be more willing to go out on a limb, to get out into our world. I was going to preach on this passage from Joel that Peter talks about. How I will, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. It's this beautiful image of the way that the Spirit moves and the way the Spirit has always moved. Some of my doctoral dissertation is about passages like this, about the Spirit breaking out. One of my favorites is in the book of Numbers, when Moses pleads with God, because he's tired. He's tired of having to bear the burden for every single person, to be the only one speaking for God. And God tells him to name 70 elders. And when Moses names them, the Spirit comes upon 70 of them. But the funny thing is that not all of them gathered together. There were two that were reluctant. They didn't want to come. They stayed in their tents. But despite what they wanted, the Spirit broke out in them too, and they began to prophesy in the same way that the others had. And Joshua, who is Moses' right-hand man, comes running and says, "Aren't you going to stop them?" And Moses says, "I wish everyone had the gift of the Spirit. Shouldn't be confined to just a few. I wish everyone could speak this way." And here in Acts chapter 2, that's what we have, Pentecost. Everyone speaks that way. It's not a single language, though. That's the amazing part. All of the people, they all hear it in their own native language. It's not as if their individual cultures are wiped out and replaced by a single culture. And I was going to preach about the beauty of that diversity in the church to a mostly white congregation. But then this week happened. Which is funny, really, because this week happens every week. It's just that someone turned on their cell phone this week and showed it to all of us. His name is George Floyd. Say his name. His name is George Floyd, and for almost 9 minutes, a police officer put his 220-pound frame on the man's neck, even as he said he couldn't breathe, even as he cried out for his deceased mother. And after 5 minutes, he was unresponsive, and for almost 4 additional minutes, just to make sure. I want you to sink in with that. It's grueling to watch. The video's out there. And finally, what black and brown people in our country have been feeling for centuries finally came to the forefront. It's almost apocalyptic to watch the images that have come forth since 5 days of protests that begin peaceful and then turn violent. And police precincts being burned and stores being looted and property being damaged. And the collective rage of a country boiling over. Peter quoting from Joel, "I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We've been talking about Revelation on Thursday nights. These images in Revelation of hail and fire and blood and earthquakes as an old system burns to the ground to be replaced by something new. Sometimes old systems need to be burned to the ground. Now, I'm not saying that this kind of violence is justified or supporting it. But can you really blame people? To blame people, or to say, if people would just treat each other better, then all this would go away, is akin in my mind to saying they're just drunk. If we could just change our behavior, everything would be better. I'm not racist. I don't hold ill feelings toward other people, but that's not the point. It's not the point. Because the point is, for centuries, people who claim to be Christian have been putting other people down because of the color of their skin. And over and over and over again, people have been peacefully trying to get their message across. The problem is, we're not listening. And so, as an interpreter of what is happening in the world and trying to see it through the lens of God's Word, I wonder if this isn't some kind of new Pentecostal moment in our society, where we won't let up until something changes, where we won't just be brutalized into silence. I've got colleagues around the country who have marched in peaceful protests, standing silently, their hands up, holding signs, while police drive by and shoot tear gas canisters at them. And they haven't done anything but stand there. There will be those in our country who will try to divide us, who will try to dichotomize us, who will try to say there are only two sides. To those who stand and say that Black Lives Matter, will come the counter, Blue Lives Matter, or All Lives Matter, as if both can't be true. I think the best thing I've seen this week is that all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter. I know we have former police officers in our congregation. I hope and pray to God that you would not find yourself in the situation. I want to support the police. I do support the police. I've been through police chaplains training. I know the pressure that are on the police, and they have to make split-second decisions. We need to pray for our police. We need to support our police. That is all true. But supporting the police and supporting people of color in this country are not mutually exclusive. So I look at the situation and I wonder, what is the Spirit of God doing in our midst? What is God teaching us in this moment? I want to read a little bit farther here in Acts 2. We stopped at this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter continues in his sermon, though. He talks about Jesus, which every good sermon should. He talks about how God raised him from the dead, and he shows them from the Old Testament scriptures how Jesus was prophesied, how it was foretold. And Peter ends his sermon, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter places the death of Jesus solely on their feet. There's fire and brimstone preaching for you, those who want it. For those of us who are white, in mostly white churches, who see the violence on TV and turn it off and go to bed because we can, What's at stake? What if someone told you you're to blame? If you don't take the time to get educated about this, if you don't take the time to see your privilege for what it is, to listen to the voices of people of color in our society who are crying out about the injustices that are placed toward them, then you're just like those who said they're just drunk. But Luke tells us in Acts 2 that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Which is exactly the right question. What shall we do? Peter replies, "Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Where does it start? It starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. And for those of you who are looking for good news, I've got news for you. There can be no good news until there is repentance. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Good Shepherd passage, where Jesus said he came to that we might have abundant life. The name of our church is named for that passage, that we might have abundant life. But "you" there is not singular, it's plural. In fact, almost every "you" in the Bible is plural. If we were in the South, we might say "y'all." Jesus came that y'all might have life. Abundant life. But we can't have abundant life until everyone has abundant life. There will be calls for peace. There can be no peace until there is justice. For our God is not only a God of peace, but a God of justice. And what it means for us to be Reformed Christians is that we proclaim that our God is a God of peace and justice. The Confession of Belhar, September 1986, in South Africa, apartheid. "We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gathers, protects, and cares for the church through word and spirit. This God has done since the beginning of the world and will do to the end. We believe in one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints called from the entire human family. We believe that Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another. That unity is therefore both a gift and an obligation for the Church of Jesus Christ. That through the working of God's Spirit, it is a binding force, yet simultaneously a reality, which must be earnestly pursued and sought, one which the people of God must continually be built up to attain. That this unity must become visible, so that the world may believe that separation, enmity, and hatred between people and groups is sin, which Christ has already conquered, and accordingly, that anything which threatens this unity may have no place in the church and must be resisted." You know what that means? It means that as long as the church continues to be all white or all black or all Hispanic, then we are guilty of sin because we are not manifesting the unity of the church. We talk a lot about the ways that the church is divided into denominations. but we don't talk a lot about is that within those denominations is plenty of segregation. And if we dive into the history of Abundant Life Reformed Church, which means that we encompass the history of Union Reformed Church and Second Reformed Church, we find churches that were present in communities in Patterson that transformed, and we left. Some of it because we were forced out, but we're honest, we didn't fight too much to stay there. There are not very many who remember that history now. But the fact that the city of Patterson is the way it is today, mostly black and Hispanic, mostly poverty-stricken, and mostly violent, is perhaps because those of us who could do something about it moved out. So what does repentance look like in that case? What does it look like for us to repent and be baptized again? Well, I think it has to begin by reminding ourselves that we don't have all the answers, that we can't look at this situation and say we understand what's going on, because we don't understand. Because we can't understand, because we don't live in that situation. I can go for a walk around my block and no one will cast a second glance at me. But if I was black, people might watch me a little more closely. Or maybe call the police on me because I was bird watching. If you don't believe that's true, think back a few years ago, right here in Wyckoff. Racial profiling. It happens. And it's sin. And this might be uncomfortable for us to hear, and you might have already turned me off already. You're able to do that. These two can't. They can't up there. I need Debbie to keep pushing the button. But we're living in this moment where we have to listen to the voices of people who have been the victims of oppression and injustice. We need to hear their voices and magnify their voices in our society. That's the first thing. And then we need to examine our own privilege. We need to examine the ways that we have benefited from the systems that are set up in place. And then we need to act. We need to partner with people who are different from us to lift up their voices so that we might maybe usher in a new day. That's what it is to be human. That's what it is to be Christian. That's what it is to be Christian. The Belhar Confession, one of the four standards of our faith, tells us that that unity is a gift from God and an obligation for us to pursue. This unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, in that we love one another, that we experience, practice, and pursue community with one another, that we are obligated to give ourselves willingly and joyfully to be of benefit and blessing to one another, that we share one faith, have one calling, are of one soul and one mind, have one God and Father, are filled with one Spirit, are baptized with one baptism, eat of one bread and drink of one cup, confess one name, are obedient to one Lord, work for one cause, and share one hope. Together, come to know the height and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ. Together are built up to the stature of Christ, to the new humanity. Together know and bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ, that we need one another and upbuild one another, admonishing and comforting one another, that we suffer with one another for the sake of righteousness. Pray together. Together serve God in this world, and together fight against all which may threaten or hinder this unity. Friends, that's our call as the church. And I believe that that's the change that the Spirit is bringing to us. To partner up with others, to change who we are, so that we might better reflect the diversity of God's creation. That we might get back to that place where the Spirit was first poured out and people were speaking many languages and they were one together, hearing one language, the language of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who speaks the language of love to us. I've said too much and I haven't said enough. It's time to wrap it up. Tonight, undoubtedly, there will be more protests. I want you to listen to their voices. I want you to hear what they're saying. Search within yourself and repent. Be baptized anew into this new thing that God is doing in our midst. Let's pray together. Almighty God, words fail us. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do most of the time. But thankfully, you do. And you call us to be a people of unity, reconciliation, justice. So guide us and direct our hearts and speak to us that we might be able to follow you. Help us to identify partners in peace, justice. And Lord, help us to transform this sick and sinful world, seeking your face above all else. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith comes to us from the Heidelberg Catechism. Four question and answers, 47, 49, 51, and 53. We profess our faith in the Holy Spirit. In his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, Christ is not absent from us for a moment. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ pours out his gifts from heaven upon us, his members. The Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. The Spirit has been given to us personally, so that by true faith, the Spirit makes us share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts us, and remains with us forever. Amen.